Here we go, here we go, here we go. What do you say? What do you say? What do you say? Mame Dog is smiling up a storm already here. It is the Table Talk with Rookie's Family. And boy, we've got a lot of stuff to get to today. A lot going on this past week, a lot coming up this next week. We're hoping that you'll tell some more people about, a couple of people, maybe three, four people about Table Talk with Rookie's Family. It's growing slowly and steady, and we're happy to gather once a week just to let you in on what's going on with our family, what's going on in the world, what's going on in fashion, and what's going around just in our little family community as we strive for excellence. Matthew is out on location, of course, in Boston. We'll get to that in a little bit. We are minus one player here, and that is Sophia, who was basically just playing hooky today, guys. What do you think? Do we fine? Do we suspend her? What's going on?
Yeah, she is not having a good day.
No, she did not respond to texts, phone calls. She's staying at a friend's house. And we said, oh, we'll pick you up tomorrow. And, oh, yeah, okay, great. I dropped her off last night. We haven't heard from her today. So, Sophia, when she texts us and finally wakes up, we'll let you know here what's going on. But we got a lot to get to, so let's not mess around. Matthew's got football games to get to out east. We've got a football game to watch, and the Wild are on it this morning. We're recording Sunday morning at about 10:30 in the morning. Okay, guys, what's
McLaren,
the update?
Do you have any updates for us?
So, well, I did warn everybody last podcast what was going to happen when Mom and Dad went out of town, and that did happen. We do have a new member of our family. His name is Finley. He is a Pomeranian. He's weighing in right now at a little under 1.5 pounds, and he will be about 4 pounds when he's fully grown. Both of his parents were 4 pounds, so the breeder's estimating that he'll be 4 pounds, give or take, either way. But so far, he's done a really good job. He does still have his accidents. He's training, but he's gone to the bathroom outside quite a few times. He's got a lot of energy, and when he's not playing with his toys, he's sleeping.
How do people see this young individual?
We'll definitely be able to post some photos so people will be able to see our new little
on
nugget.
On Instagram, Twitter.
Yeah, on our social
Facebook.
Media
okay,
pages.
Okay, good. Yeah, I'm a dog person. I didn't really want a dog yet. I liked the freedom of not having a dog for as long as we did. I would like it more, especially through the winter. The worst is taking a dog out in the winter. And taking a small dog out in the winter is going to be death when there's a big snowstorm or huge snow piles.
Well, not to mention that our dog can't even go up and down stairs because he is 1.5 pounds.
It's, what?
Yeah, he can't go up and down stairs.
I don't think he'll ever be able to.
Yeah.
Oh, sure he will.
Cannot tell in photos or videos how small a 1.5 pound dog is.
No, you absolutely can't, and I can testify to that because in Boston we saw photos and video of the dog and FaceTiming, and it looks small, but it not that small. And then you see it in person, and it is by far the smallest dog I have ever seen in my life.
He's gonna have to learn.
He will, but it's not a good logistics dog. Let's just put it that way.
It's a great logistics dog because it can pretty much go wherever you need it to go inside of a purse.
If we got a Caucasian Ovarchka, we wouldn't have this problem.
That's not a logistics dog.
A logistics dog.
And one, I don't carry a purse. And two, I don't really bring dogs places except to maybe the dog park.
But see, now this dog is so small, it's easy to bring places.
Yes.
You don't need to bring
it. I don't want to bring a dog to Target.
It's going on the airplane, it's going everywhere.
No one brings the dog. There's nowhere that you would need it.
Everywhere.
Why would you need to bring a dog to Target?
I'm about to look up every single dog-friendly restaurant, and those are the only restaurants we will go to the rest of our life so that Finley can experience things with us.
Wow.
No.
Well, I am a dog person. I love dogs, and I'll grow to love this dog. I'm under protest that this happened so quickly, and
I warned you guys. I gave you the fair warning, whether you chose to believe it or not. I told you so.
Now the biggest challenge we face is trying to walk in our house. He thinks that feet are toys, and you do not want to step on this dog because you will definitely seriously injure, if not kill it.
You'd probably kill it.
So you kind of have to shuffle and watch every time you get up to move, and he just dashes for you the second you move.
Which is the reason you want a dog, so you can't walk around your house, right? It's not like he hops up on your lap next to the fire or curls up at your feet. It's I have to shuffle my feet now like I'm avoiding stingrays in the ocean.
I went to sit down on the ground this morning. He got running over there as fast as he could, got right underneath where my butt was going to go. And McClure's like, don't sit, don't sit.
Yeah.
So I froze in that position until we could get him moved.
The good thing about him, though, is he's not going to be able to go up on any furniture. So you don't have to worry about furniture getting wrecked or anything because he physically cannot jump off the ground to the top of the couch. Nor can he sit up in the windowsill that Piper would sit in because he will fall between the couch and the windowsill.
That's true. I guess if you're going to find a silver lining, that is one of the silver linings.
See?
I mean, I'm not anti, but I'm just saying it happened quick. And
he barely eats because he's so darn small, so you don't have to buy dog food a lot. There's a lot of pluses.
Not like Piper, who would eat, and if you drop the bag open, he would tear it open until every morsel was gone.
He might try to do that, but he wouldn't get very far.
All right. All right, well, that's news in our family. We got a dog. Boom. We got a dog.
And how was Boston for you guys?
And we went to Boston
Thursday, Friday, came home Saturday.
Yep.
Quick trip. We stayed with Matthew and his roommate, Brannick, at their apartment.
Yep.
Worked out really well. It was very fun.
Matthew lives in the North End, and that's basically right by Little Italy in Boston. And it is, I like Little Italy in Boston more than I do New York's Little Italy. Just
ours is big Italy.
Yeah, it's
right. Yours is so much bigger, and it's a really vibrant, fun area.
Yeah, if you haven't been, make sure. I mean, if you go to Boston, you're gonna go on the Freedom Trail, and that's right through the North End. We saw Paul Revere's house, the old North Church. I mean, it's really cool. Tourists are everywhere. I know in New York, yes, tourists are everywhere, but in Boston, it's as if they stick out like a sore thumb because they all have their cameras out on the Freedom Trail and they're taking pictures of, what is it, the State House or just the bricks or Paul Revere's house. And it's not silly. It's just, it's fun. We did the same thing. We snapped a couple of photos, but they really stick out there. And the night we went, Friday night when we were out walking around looking for, deciding which restaurant we were going to go to, there were people everywhere and it was fun. And what's the most important thing? What did you feel?
Safe.
Good. Safe. We felt safe. I did not feel downtown Minneapolis, downtown St. Paul. I'm constantly looking over my shoulder for going to a Wild game coming out of the Ordway, coming out of the State Theater. Sophia and I are going to Mean Girls this week. And I've already thought about how are we going to get there? We'll park in the same lot. And that's Wednesday night. And I do not feel safe in Minneapolis and St. Paul downtown. But I never thought twice about, in Boston. When I was in D.C.,
really?
Yeah, there were a couple of shady spots, but I didn't feel that even walking around at night. I didn't see that kind of, there was a good police presence, but I didn't see a lot of thuggery.
I don't think that there's not, and I definitely have times where it's like, you keep your head on a swivel.
Yep.
You always have your head on a swivel, Matthew.
Yeah, I do. I'm very paranoid. But there's like certain spots. Yeah, we didn't go to a lot of those spots today where you kind of want to stay on edge, but North End, there's so much happening that you're never like alone on the street usually, unless you're out at a weird time, but there's always people around and tourists and whatnot, so it does have a safer feel.
Unless you're the gal looking for her friend outside your window at about what time was that at then?
Yeah.
Thursday or Friday night? Yeah, Stella!
But we also took a detour outside of Boston City proper, and we went to the town of Dedham. Is that how you say it, Matthew?
Yep, Dedham, Massachusetts.
Right, and we visited the Fairbanks house, which is the oldest wood structure in North America.
The oldest, yeah, timber frame house in North America, or wood frame, yeah.
Wood frame, yeah. Right. And it was built in, they believe, 1636. And the significance of why we would go there, you might ask, is I am a descendant of the Fairbanks, and Matthew is too. Yep. We figured out that I am 11th generation.
No, you're more than that.
No,
you're like 14.
You're 12th.
We looked in. We went home and looked in the book, and I found where Grandma Williams was born 9th generation, which means Grandma Keeger is 10. Your mom is 11, and then you are number 12.
They have a long, what is that? How do you say that word?
Longevity.
No, longevity. So that might be why, I don't know.
It's low.
People are looking at me weird, so just never mind.
You're right.
You're right
that,
on.
That was interesting because my grandmother lived to 105. My mother is going to be 93 soon. And one of the things that they said on the tour is the Fairbanks are known for their longevity. And even back in the 1600s, they were living to old ages.
That's crazy.
And all their kids would survive.
Yes. Yeah.
Which was rare.
Like, oh, that's huge.
And all six kids would make it to adulthood.
Yeah, because that's not, back in the days,
right?
How it worked.
No, in the 1600s, let's see, the John Fairbanks, the old man, lived to be 73, as well as Grace, the mom, 73.
That's amazing.
The boy, John, from 1618 to 1684. I mean, they had pretty long lives. There's a couple that didn't have as long, but it's just really neat to know. I mean, think of all that. We get excited if we are down on Summit Avenue and we see the James J. Hill House, and that's history, or, you know, we lived in a house that was built in 1911. There was a lot of generations, and we lived in St. Paul. And then the fact that your family, you guys, I'm not included in this, have a lineage and a book, an 800-page book that follows all of your cousins and relatives down to where your grandmother was born on the White Earth, in White Earth, is amazing. And the fact that your relatives, you were in a house that they walked in. That is mind-blowing.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Mind-blowing that you have actual proof that your relatives lived in this house, I think is amazing.
It was funny because the docent there, she's like, well, welcome home.
That's cool.
Which was kind of cool. And then a couple other interesting things
Kathleen did a great job.
Yes, she did. They have a family reunion there every year, the second Saturday of August, and that is August 8th of 2020. Thought it would be kind of fun to go to. They apparently get hundreds of people there.
Yeah.
It'd be kind of cool. I mean, you don't have to stay if it's lame.
Weird.
But it is weird, McLaren, but it'd be kind of fun.
No, it would be. But yeah, it's very bizarre. Maybe we could make it like a little family trip within like the whole Keeger family.
Yeah, it would be
fun.
Because
that would be fun if we all, as like a big family, went up.
Yes.
But if it was just like the six of us, like, hi, we are descendants of the Fairbanks, I'd be like, I hate my life.
Then they have relatives in every single state in the country, which
That's
is
neat.
Cool. And then the other thing was, they fought in both sides of the Civil War.
Yes. They have a list of who fought in the Civil War and which sides and so forth. And they have their rank. They have who they fought for, where they were from. It's really it's really cool, especially the book. The book. Go ahead.
There's been someone from the family that's fought in every single U.S. conflict since the Revolutionary War.
Wow.
That's amazing. War of 1812, Civil War, Revolutionary War.
I mean, and the modern wars, too.
And we've also had a vice president.
Yep.
Because
Teddy Roosevelt, vice president.
Speaking of presidents.
But I would also like to mention that it was funny because yesterday I got a call from mom's brother, Eddie, who called me to say, what is this whole Fairbanks house thing? I told him, go to fairbankshouse.org and learn about the history of the house. But he was a little jealous, I think. He said, I had no idea. I said, well, it's the coolest thing to go out there. And, you know, I explained what I just explained earlier on the podcast. Mm-hmm. But Uncle Eddie was really, he has a neighbor that is a Fairbanks descendant. That's a relative of you guys that lives next door to him. So he was excited to tell his neighbor about that.
Yeah, he's got to get the book.
Yeah, he should. It actually was a little bit emotional for me, and I did not expect that at all. That really took me by surprise.
Yeah.
But it kind of was.
It's funny that you wouldn't have been emotional about it, because I thought it was, when you let it sink in, it's really, really cool.
Yeah.
That nobody, people don't have that in this country. There's no 1600 structure standing, obviously, no matter what. I don't care what it's made of. Most of everything is all gone, unless it, you know, it was downtown Boston made in the 1680s or whatever, which is neat to see, too.
Well, yeah, that was fun. And kind of along the same lines is my article today.
What do you got?
So that's one of the oldest structures in North America. But I have the oldest place you can possibly go in Minnesota.
Hmm.
Ooh. Anybody have any guesses of what it might be?
Oh, boy.
Okay, let's think. Let's logically. Gabe, like, put your brain to use.
You will not guess
you're
it.
You're smart.
It's got to be something like Native American related.
Ye old mill.
Ooh, very close.
Is it a structure?
Yes. Yes.
Something to do with Native Americans.
No. No, because that's, I think they're talking about more modern.
Oh, I don't know.
No, it is the Hubble House in Manterville.
Yep. Don't even know what that is.
It's located in Manterville. Is that how you say that? Mantorville.
Yeah.
Minnesota. The Hubble House is a historic landmark, and it's downtown. And it was built in 1854. Constructed the first Hubble House 4 years before Minnesota was admitted as the 32nd state. Just a few years later, it was rebuilt as a three-story building and still stands today. And the restaurant is quite popular for people to go to.
I just pulled up the Hubble House. Look at that menu. It's steak and lobster with béarnaise sauce. That looks really good.
Huh. Where's Manterville?
Manterville is, I'll tell you in a second here.
So it's a restaurant now?
It's down by the, it's south. Zumbro. Let's see, what's the biggest city?
I don't really think
Cassin.
It matters.
Just give it a...
It was known as the crossroads on your journey west. So people would stop there. Ulysses S. Grant stayed there. Mickey Mantle stayed there. The Vikings have stayed there.
It's west of Rochester, and north of Highway 14, which goes out of Rochester. So it's pretty close. That might be a neat place to stay. Now we got to stop by. That's a road trip to go check out Hubble House.
It would be cool. And they're famous for their onion rings.
Huh. Okay, sold.
Interesting.
Really? The 1854?
According to this article.
220 years newer.
Okay.
Yes, isn't that something?
All right.
So I'm bringing to the table today, it's not really an article. It's something that I saw, and I think a lot of people in this room might have some kind of reaction to it. So on Twitter, it says, "Condolences to those whose names are forever connected to unfortunate pieces of pop culture." And the person that's writing this, weirdly enough, his name is Jesse McLaren. He's a nighttime TV writer. I'd never heard of him, but he does have the blue check on Twitter. And his first name is Jesse. So Jesse's girl, he always got references to Jesse's girl.
Rick Springfield song.
So then I was like, well, I know we've talked about this before, but I always get, oh, do your parents love the McLaren sports car? Oh, you're named after the car.
Stroller.
And like all stuff like that. And then I was like, well, has anybody else in the family had any similar instances? Yeah, so I just was going to talk about that.
Mickey Mouse.
Yeah, Mickey was my nickname given to me at a very young age, and it was spelled M-I-C-K-E-Y, just like the mouse.
M-O-U-S-E.
And I have always despised it. And anyway, at one point, I think I was in fifth grade, I said, well, I got to at least get rid of the mouse spelling.
So you doodled.
I changed it to M-I-C-K-I, and I've stuck with that. And then I went to high school, and I thought, all right, this is my opportunity. I can drop Mickey. No one's going to know me there. One person knew me there. One.
As Mickey?
As Mickey. And then I'm not Michelle. I'm obviously Mickey, because people gravitate towards that over Michelle.
Right.
And ever since then, I've always tried to introduce Michelle. And as soon as someone finds out Mickey, they go to Mickey.
It's funny how people do gravitate towards those nicknames.
Shorter names.
Yes. Yeah. My best friend growing up as a child, Craig, they named him Craig because there's no nickname. You know, like Matthew might be, hey, Maddie, Matt, Gabe, Mac, Shelly. You know, Shelly to my right here. You're not much of a Shelly, are you? But that's it's funny how people always, especially boys, why do boys always have to, a hockey coach will give you a nickname that ends with what sound?
K.
The long E.
Oh.
Hey, Mikey. Yeah. Hey, Jimmy. Hey, Tommy. I mean, all that, every nickname ends with the long E.
What?
Hey, Gaby. Yes.
Gaby.
Yeah. E. I get Mike Wazowski because my last name is Mikulski.
Huh.
Like Wazowski.
I've gotten that a million times.
Yeah.
I mean, Matt Mikulski, Mike Wazowski.
Gotten that. I get Mac, though. And then, of course, when you get Mac, it's like, oh, Big Mac.
What's up, Big Mac?
It's like, ha, you're funny.
Yeah, that's terrible. I used to get Big Mac.
I was just talking about with Haley. She had never known. Growing up, though, everyone called me Chauncey.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And she had never heard
that
anybody had called me that. And I said, there's still people, whenever I see them, that will call me Chauncey.
That was started by Wingard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He started that after Chauncey Billups, who was with the Timberwolves. But you never played basketball, so it was funny. We loved it, but it was just, it was a nickname started by him, and that it stuck.
Yeah, that is a funny nickname.
Yep.
Chauncey Billups.
Yeah.
Gabe every now and then gets Gabrielle.
Oh, you do. People mess up your name and call you the female version.
Which I don't understand at all. Gabrielle isn't even spelled that way.
No, and why would you ever look at a boy and call him the girl name?
I have no idea. It confuses me greatly. But that's not, I guess, really a nickname thing. That's just a person is not able to read
Although
correctly.
I do think that Gabrielle is a hard name.
You got major echo going on.
Yeah,
One thing is funny that if Sophia was here to comment, she'd be able to talk about her Sophia name being shortened to Sophie, to Fia, to Fee. She's got about 7 or 8 nicknames.
Yeah, she does.
I call her Sophia.
I call her Sophia as well. No,
this
I call
is
her
a
Fia too.
Very... Oh, wait, no, it's not. Never mind.
What?
I was going to say it's off topic, but that was McLaren's thing.
Yeah, I didn't really have an article. It was just like talking about nicknames.
I thought it was
a conversation piece.
Well, and you've got nickname Rookie.
Yeah, that stuck with you.
I was at my friend that works at the airport was on an aircraft the other day to making sure it was all ready for people to come down, and the flight attendant said to him, "I'm not sure whether I'm supposed to call you Matt or the Rookie." And I said, it doesn't matter, because she was a listener to the podcast in the Garage Logic Store. I said, it doesn't matter. She was very nervous about calling me the wrong thing.
Oh,
I said,
funny.
It's fine. Don't worry about it. It's fine. I just had to laugh about that.
But before I'm talking to you, I'm going to have to go. You do that before you start sentences.
Okay. And Gabe is very nitpicky for the podcast today.
I'm tired, so I'm just kind of pointing things out.
Gabe had to sleep with the dog in his room last night. Yeah. He wanted to.
I was going to say, he didn't have to. He chose to.
Yeah. Bad choice.
How'd it go?
It went fine at the beginning when he was tired, but then he realized he wasn't with me and got very upset. Yes. No. No. Because I'd put him back in the thing after he would fall asleep on my bed, and then he would immediately go... Rrr!
That's why the dog can't sleep with Gabe, because you can't be doing that. He needs to learn that he has to sleep inside of
the crate.
A box.
Crate.
You put him in a box. You don't have a crate, because McLaren's like, oh, I've got a crate ready. I can get it today. It's like 3 days after you got the
dog.
Gabe
always blames everything on me about the dog. He doesn't do any of the work, and he's yelling at me for everything.
There. We were at PetSmart, and I said, we should just get this crate because it's cheaper than the other one. And she goes, no, I have one on Marketplace or whatever Facebook thing. And I go, can you get that today? And she goes, I can get it tomorrow.
So
I've already
been
talking to the person. It is 3 days after she has not gotten
get
it.
Get your hand away from me. Well, between running around and doing other things, why haven't you offered to go pick it up?
Last time I checked, I can't
drive. You've
got
a bike. It's by our house.
Why are you crying?
I'm not crying. You're just being annoying. And you said you'd help with the dog, and you haven't done anything.
Honest to God.
Well, he keeps throwing me under the bus.
Oh, what?
Next topic. We're moving on to Gabe.
Gabe's an awful human.
Stop.
Shush.
Who's got the next topic?
Gabe, who's unprepared.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay. I got it. So this woman was driving on a highway. And a small cat, which she thought was a cat, ran across the highway. So she stopped and brought the cat into her car. And it acted like a little kitten, and it was like playing with her and everything. And then she got home and realized that it was indeed not a cat when she already was in the bed with it. And it was a bobcat. So she brought it
to... Did you see photos of this?
I don't know.
I did.
It was huge.
It was not little. It was big. And her child was also in the car with her.
It's just a little kitten thing.
It's like a kitten bobcat.
Right. We saw. Maybe that was a file photo.
Okay.
We could have been fooled.
Okay,
but I saw that same one you did.
Fooled. I saw a full on big cat.
No, it's a tiny. And then she brought it to a service for these little animals and said that it's a bobcat. Don't pick up just wild cats you see in the wilderness. They're not a cat.
Little house cat.
Yeah.
It does look like one, but they said that bobcats have a distinct dotted feature of them that cats don't normally get. And their ears are different and their paws are different.
Okay, then someone to offer clickbait.
Yes.
Mom and I were guilty of the clickbait because I thought, oh my God, that thing is huge. So that must have been a file photo of another bobcat because that cat was huge.
Or a Photoshop type thing because I saw a huge cat laying in the back seat, like a full-on bobcat.
It said in the article I read that it was like climbing around the car and then it settled in her lap and went to bed.
Got
it. So,
we'll see if we can get you a bobcat.
What happened to the bobcat then, I wonder?
She brought it to the... Fox Service. Hold on, wait. It was a funny name. For Fox's Sake. Wildlife.
For Fox's Sake? Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
That's wear the fox hat.
And they took it, and I don't know if they released it or kept it.
No, they're keeping it.
Okay. Right,
then there you go.
They're looking for donations because they're expensive to take care of.
Well, I'm sure.
Well, if they found it in the wilderness, I bet they could put it back out there.
It's 5 to 6 weeks old.
No, that needs a mom.
Name is Arwen.
Yep.
Oh, Arwen.
That's cute.
All right. Well, I'll remember that not to pick up any cats that look like raccoons or anything
on
the side.
Well, we kind of have that situation.
I don't think ours is a bobcat.
It could be a bobcat.
The best thing ever about having an animal living in the house was when Matthew was a little toddler and we had a big labradoodle and he was staring at the labradoodle studying something and then he said something to the effect of, what did he say?
When does he come out of the suit?
Right. When is he? Yeah. Like he's going to go on break and go have a cigarette outside. When does he come out of the suit? It was very innocent and very funny. And I'm sure you've learned a lot about dogs since then, Matthew.
Yeah. I believed there was a person in there.
All right. You're next up, big guy.
All right. I'm going to bring the tone down here. Princeton grad who killed dad after his $1,000 weekly allowance was sentenced to 30 years to life.
Run up by me again.
This was a story from, I think it was, 2015 is when it actually happened, but it's just sort of kind of coming back around now. A guy who went to Princeton, very promising kid, smart. He's 30 years old. His father ran a hedge fund, and he was very wealthy. And so the kid, all the way through college and after college, got an allowance from his parents. And he would get $1,000. A week allowance.
Nice.
And until he was 30. So he got to the point he was 30. And his parents started saying, you need to get your act together, start being more self-sufficient. We're going to start cutting down your allowance. And so they periodically would give him less and less money until it got to the point where he was only getting $300 a week from them.
Okay.
And the kid went to Manhattan, where his dad lives, and shot him in the head.
Oh, my
wow.
God.
Put the gun in his dad's hand to make it look like a suicide.
Oh, that always works.
Yeah.
So and he could get the money?
He did not fool anybody with that. He caught the guy immediately. And he just got sentenced, however, somehow 4 years later.
Wow.
And he got sentenced to 30 years to life. But I don't even remember the story of in 2015. I feel like I would have heard this, but
yeah,
I thought it was kind of a wild story and
did
just
he,
an idiot person.
Did he kill the dad because he was mad and then he thought he'd get the money for the dad dying? Or he, it was just out of anger?
Know,
okay.
Mom was still alive, so I'm sure she would have had the money.
Huh.
But think about this. If indeed he was that smart, which you got to get pretty good grades to get into Princeton and get good grades once you get into Princeton, the first thing, if you fast forward to after you've done this ungodly deed, the first thing the detectives are going to say is there anybody in his life that could have possibly been irked or upset or mad? And, you know, wouldn't the wife, Junior was pretty upset when he wasn't getting his allowance anymore. Instantly, you're a target, especially if your dad's a hedge fund manager and you've got a lot of money. That's the first thing. I mean, it's so stupid. That's a crime show, CSI 911 or whatever.
Well, yeah. Here's my thing is I think there might have been, and I'm not saying to blame mental illness when people kill someone, but if he wasn't getting his life together and was just living off of his parents' money, and then they're trying mm-hmm. to have him grow up and this is how he reacted, clearly something was really wrong for him to react this way and for his parents to be like, you need to start growing up and taking responsibility. It sounds like there might be, and I'm not saying, oh, he's got a mental illness, blah, 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 but I think there might be more to this story.
That would be maybe example A, but also example B could be he was just a big baby pain in the ass and he was evil. He was just you got a bad guy, which there is a difference between mental illness and just being an entitled generation, whatever he was, saying, I'm entitled to this.
I know, but if he went to Princeton, I don't know. I think there's more to this story that
he bought his way in.
Probably.
No, well, I think we're all making assumptions, so maybe we should just stop.
No, pretty clearly obvious. But they did do an insanity defense at his trial, and they did not
succeed.
The jury did not.
I'm glad they didn't buy it. A successful dad didn't deserve that when he was already supporting his kid and got him all the way to that point, and the kid says, I want more, or you're
not giving
me enough.
Well, he was a bad parent.
I'm not saying he was a great parent. I'm saying that.
You don't even know who the guy is. You can't
note.
Say he's a
well,
bad
parent.
Well,
that's bad parenting.
Quick side
you
note.
You don't give your kid $1,000 a week till the age of 30.
I bet if you
that's
guys had the money, you guys would give
problem.
More money to people.
Here, I have a quick question. What does a hedge fund manager do?
Finance.
They have like a group of investments, and then they manage the money. So people give them money, and then they invest in the stock market for them.
So Matthew has a hedge fund, and Matthew says to me, I want you to invest $100 million. And more often than not, with a wink and a nudge, they can say, I can guarantee you X percentage amount. And so they try to make sure that they deliver to their investors 10%, whatever the percentage.
Okay.
But that's attractive to you to get that almost guarantee that you're going to get 10%. So you give them $100 million.
They'll take stocks from they'll pick like five companies, and the companies are on the stock exchange, they'll put them together, and then you invest in all those
just
companies.
Just stop, because I don't even know what the hell the stock exchange is,
okay.
And I don't want
well,
it explained, because I thought this
that.
Was a quick fix, but this is not.
They invest in the stock market.
And I don't even know
Very
what the
simple.
Stock market is, so let's
then
just
he,
move
oh my
on.
Jesus
okay.
No, I do
are
not
you praying,
listen.
Matthew?
Listen.
Are you praying, Matthew?
Father Jingdahl listens to this.
Listen.
Yes.
I don't
want
whoa, whoa, whoa.
Explained
okay,
to
McLaren.
Me.
Shh. I need to say something going back to Boston.
Probably.
No, I'm going to say, this is right. back. This has to do with church and back in Boston. We went into a church right by where Matthew lives.
St. Leonard, I believe
St. Leonard. And we toured it just kind of by ourselves. It was just open at night, and we went in there. It's just beautiful. And the statues in there are all donated, and there's plaques along the wall, sorry, of all these donations made to the church, and every pew is donated. And anyway, I just, it really had nothing to do with what we were saying, but I loved going into this church. And there was a large mafia presence.
Yes.
As far as the donations go, some very prominent mafia families, which pretty much ended their reign in the 80s there. But they did donate the front two pews in the names of the family.
Love
and
that
the plaques on the plaque on the wall has the four children on it. It's kind of interesting, but the church is beautiful, and I want Matthew to go there. And the 10:30 mass on Sundays is in Italian, so I think that'd be really neat.
Yeah, that really.
Yeah,
would be
I think that would be cool to go see.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah. All right.
Where
sorry.
Were we?
We digress.
Yes. Oh, but we digress. Politics. Let's start talking politics.
All right.
You're always politics.
Does that stress you guys out?
No, hit me.
U.S. politics has been incredibly diverse in recent years and is only likely going to grow worse as this trouble over President Trump and the Ukraine, et cetera, impeachment. So it's no wonder that the stress of politics these days, nearly 2 out of 5 Americans say politics is stressing them out. 1 in 5 are sleepless or have had friendships damaged over politics, the researchers have found. They're saying this has divided, again, families, friendships, and maybe not necessarily immediate families or possibly could have, but like cousins or uncles or in-laws, that type of thing. And things have been intensified this past week, which it really is a yes or no. In an earlier study, 2/3 of Americans said the future of the nation is a very or somewhat significant source of stress, even more so than stressors like money or work. More than half they considered this the lowest point in U.S. history that they can remember.
That's a load of crap.
They can remember.
Do you believe that? That it
absolutely
people
not.
Just like to find problems.
Well, yeah.
But
yes, you believe that.
Where's this article from? What liberal Democrat is writing this article to let the world know?
This article was from the UPI, United Press International. And the study, the American Psychological Association, has more info about coping with stress. Go ahead.
Let me say this. This is a recurring issue for you, McLaren. This article does not offer any opinion. It is simply stating the results of a study.
No, they did offer an opinion when they were talking about Donald Trump.
No, they didn't even say him once.
They didn't
once.
Say that.
Yes, they did.
A
did
single
you
time,
not listen
on.
To Dad?
His name was not mentioned one time.
It was.
It was in the opening, but it
yes,
didn't
but
take...
Yes, but Dad just said that.
Dad mentioned it.
It
yeah,
was
not
in
the article.
Beginning, but it didn't take a side. It didn't
it,
say...
It sure it sounded like they took a side.
Dad mentioned Trump and Ukraine. The article does not say that.
Yes, he was reading the beginning of the article.
So what they said was issues like this, which the current issue is Trump versus Ukraine, is causing people
And he mentioned
stress.
Impeachment.
But, so what were the...
He did not.
The point of the article is this, not the politics, but how politics has obviously divided the country, but it's obviously causing people sleepless nights, which I...
That's a load
one
of
in five,
crap.
20% of people can't sleep at night because they're worried about... There's so much other stuff
if
to worry about.
If that's you out there, you need to seek mental help. Because if that's that big of an issue for you, you really need help. If you're having sleepless nights because of the politics, there's something wrong with
you.
The
only sleepless night I ever have over politics is on election night, and that's only to see who wins.
We were popping champagne after the last election. What was it, 2 a.m.?
Not me. I was sleeping.
She was taking a nap. Mom was taking a late nap. That being said, I know people that are extremely liberal. I mean, extremely liberal. And one of the guys was the general manager of a nightclub. Remember we went down there for your birthday?
Yeah.
That guy, he is as left as can be. But when I see him, it's high smiles, it's happiness, it's jovial. He just had an unfortunate incident in his family, so our condolences go out to him. If he's listening to the podcast, I'm not sure. I haven't talked to him. But he is as left as can be, and it doesn't affect our relationship. Now, there's others that I know that it does affect the relationship, whether it's friends, family, coworkers. And that's sad because it's so – you watch The View and see Joy Behar and Meghan McCain go after each other. Joy is so so negative. And
Joy
she doesn't
should not have
to be.
A job. She's a ruthless, gross human being. Well, I hope you're listening, no, Joy.
I doubt she is. But beyond that is what I'm saying is that's the wrong approach to go in attack mode. I don't care if you voted for Hillary Clinton, and I know people that did – I don't despise them. I don't hate them. I don't. If you voted for Donald Trump, I'm not trying to praise you
then
or
you can
dislike.
Come to our family dinner table.
I'm just, you know, what I'm saying is politics. Yes, if you're in the game and you're the politician running, that should stress you out and your family. If you're just a voter, it shouldn't stress you out. It should just be. Oh, here's the guy that won. When Clinton won, I did not vote for Bill Clinton.
Oh, someone did.
And I was sad that my guy, George Bush, didn't win. But you know what? It took me about 3 minutes to get over it and then also realize that was going to be good for business. That was going to be good for the radio business. But when President Clinton was in office...
I tried to help you out with that.
No, don't even go there. When President Obama was in office, he was my president. I didn't vote for him, but you know what? It didn't bother me that...
Because here's the thing. Even if your person didn't win, life goes on. It's really not going to impact you so bad that your life is going to end. Sure, there might be things that you have to change and it stinks, but your life isn't going to end. Your life is going to continue. Guess what? The president, you can say they aren't your president, but guess what? They are. You're living in America. He's in charge. So... Sure, I might not have liked Obama, but he was my president. That's who people wanted. Okay, get over it.
Go to sleep at night.
I'm alive.
One in five. Go to sleep. Don't make it kill you there.
I think they have other issues in their life.
Yeah,
that could be, and maybe they're just blaming politics.
That's true.
Speaking of politics, yep. The president is coming to our state October 10th.
What's our prediction on that? Is that going to be it's going to be a mess outside of Target Center.
Yeah, because Frey already made it be a mess.
He released
a statement and it was just, the president is not welcome in our state and all this stuff. And it's just so, I don't think that's.
It wasn't very stately.
Again,
he doesn't have to say anything. He could say, we welcome the president to Minnesota. And leave it at that. He doesn't have to say anything more and then just move on.
Exactly. You don't have to. He does not have to agree with the president, but he's in office. Frey is an elected official, and so is President Trump. You have to just be cordial. You don't have to like whatever they're putting out.
I'm excited for a Democrat to be president and just see. We'll have to replay all this back from McLaren.
But sure, I might get upset, but it's not going to stop my life, and I'm not going to say he's not my president. You can mark my words on that. Because even though I didn't think Obama was great, I never once said he's not my president, because he is.
Well, we're not going to get political, but we're going to talk about
what?
The stress of politics. I do want to move on. Just our last point here, go out with a positive. This is a really nice, you know, people are always looking for new ways to help people out. Gabe, you've got to do how many service hours this year for high school?
I have no idea.
All right, I thought you were.
I'm not 100% sure that's.
I don't think we do.
Service
any.
Hours are required of freshmen.
We get merits, but okay. We don't get service hours.
Matthew?
What are you going to say, Dad? What is it? Yeah.
I was going to say, first and foremost, our own charity here at secondstork.org is always looking for volunteers. So if you are a listener to the podcast and you want to have a family outing, maybe with the holidays coming up, You are very welcome to pack diaper bags. Look at secondstork.org. I'm a co-founder with Deb O'Halloran and Dan Flanagan about 2008, and it's growing. And we always need help delivering diapers to hospitals. And we're non-political and non-religious. Please check that out. But I bring that up because there's another outfit that has done something very positive. And I just want to read it. It's really quick. Indianapolis resident Francine Long, 64, says there's days she barely has the energy to get out of bed. The thought of tidying up her home while undergoing chemotherapy sounds downright exhausting. It turns your body inside out. My energy levels just tanked, she said. But her everyday life was made a bit easier when she found out about Cleaning for a Reason. This is an Indianapolis story, a CBS Channel 4 out of Indianapolis. This outfit, not only did they clean, but they sanitized, which is what I need. I need to get as much bacteria and germs away as I can, she said. From dusting to doing the dishes, the Dust Devils owner, Teresa Kolba, says it's about lending an extra helping hand. Instead of using that energy to clean the house, these patients can use it for something that hopefully brings them joy, she said. That means patients like Francine can focus all their attention on the road to recovery. They just came here and went to work. I felt so happy and relieved. At least I can breathe for a little while until next time. To date, Cleaning for a Reason has helped over 30,000 people. There's zero financial requirement. The only criteria is a person must be going treatment for any type of cancer. And you can click on there if you want to. It's not here, but I just thought that's really neat. It puts your faith, after all the stressful political talk, in the United States and Americans who help people out when they're in need.
Yeah.
So that's pretty
good
cool.
Good point. Nice story.
Yes.
Great.
All right. We are going out with a positive. Vikes win 3 o'clock?
I don't know. Let's wrap this up.
A game might not be able to make it to the next one.
Yeah, it's the late game. The Wild play at 1 o'clock.
Yeah.
And Twins close out their season today?
Yeah. No. Don't they have one more after this?
Oh, do they? I don't know. I thought, well, they're up to 304 home runs. They've got their record. That's probably going to stand for, what, maybe one more season with these juiced balls.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see. The Yankees could beat it today.
Where are we watching the game in Boston today, brah?
I'm actually going to a barbecue.
Are you? How's it? Do you have good weather today?
Yeah, beautiful. Perfect.
Oh, good.
Breeze, sunny. So I'll probably be watching. I might bring my laptop, honestly, to the barbecue and put the game on that.
You're ridiculous.
I'll be outside, so I can't. I don't know.
That's fun.
I won't miss it. You can count on that.
All right. Thank you. Be safe out in Boston. Sophia sends her highest salutations.
Yeah.
Okay, Maddie.
I just
talk
heard
to you later.
From her.
Bye.
All right. See you. Bye.
Bye. Podcast.
He doesn't want to listen to that.
Oh, you heard from Sophia.
What does she say? She's ready to do the podcast. Why are you waving your finger in the air? You got a hot date?
So done with this thing that it's not even funny.
No,
so
don't say done with this thing.
He's a little mad that he got publicly shamed on the podcast.
You were the one that was crying because I called you out.
There were no tears in the podcast room.
There
Mom
was tears.
Me
and
up.
Then you smacked me because I put my hand up for you
because
to stop talking.
You
over
put
me.
Your hand right in my face.
More of this childish behavior on the next Table Talk with Rookie's Family. You can find us on all sorts of social media. We are on Instagram. We are on Twitter. Gabe, what's our Facebook page?
I wish I could tell you that one.
Just check us out. Google Table Talk with Rookie's Family. Apple iTunes. Give us a rating. We'd like to hear whether you like this bickering or not. And we'll catch you next time as Gabe does his best imitation of a helicopter with the pointing his finger above his head. Brociferous. You got a last word?